Thank you, Mike. Those songs. Great to be able to sing the truths of the Word of God. He sang in the Psalms many of the things concerning the things of God. And it's great to be able to rejoice in truly what the Lord has done and the great things that he's given to us through the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's turn to John chapter 2. John chapter 2. Good to hear different ones of the men this morning as we gather around the Lord's table and at the Lord's Supper in remembrance of our Savior. It's good to hear different ones participate as the Spirit leads and led in worship as we remember the Lord Jesus Christ. And certainly a time when we come to give, isn't it? And it's a time when we reflect from our hearts truly what God has done for us. At a time like this, we come to teach, don't we, and come to receive. And something to trust that we'll receive something from the Word of God will be an encouragement and a help to you. In every group of people, there's always a possibility that there may be one here this morning, perhaps more, that have never yet trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Does not know what it is to have their sins forgiven. To continue on in the guilt of sin, in the path that leads to destruction. It's a great opportunity and a great invitation, a great privilege, the greatest decision that one can make in receiving God's gift of his dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who paid in death, paid the debt of your sin and mine. Looking in, as we think of the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus, his precious blood was shed upon the mercy seat of the divine, holy God, lies the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that is sufficient in satisfying the demands of a righteous God. He's done it all. And he only invites us to come and to receive him. Thinking of the story of Nicodemus, but I want to start in chapter 2 of the Gospel of John. I'm going to begin at verse 23. Now when he was in Jerusalem, that is the Lord Jesus, at the Passover, in the feast, many believed in his name. And when they saw the miracles which he did, but Jesus did not commit himself unto them, because he knew all, and needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Sometimes the breaks in the chapters kind of change you stop at the end of the chapter and you think that's it. When you go into the next chapter, sometimes we continue to see more of that picture of what the Lord Jesus is talking. The setting in which he is, his conversation with those about him, and so on. The scene here is that the Lord Jesus is at Jerusalem. He's at the time of the feast of the Passover, when the lamb that would be taken and slain, as the Passover lamb would be sacrificed there in the temple. And it's a great picture of the Lord Jesus Christ who was sacrificed for us. But it was at the time of the Passover, and as they gathered in Jerusalem, there were many people of the Jews, the religious men, the leaders, would gather in Jerusalem at that time in celebration of the great day of the Passover. And they would gather at that place, at the temple. And the Lord Jesus was there. Many believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did. The Lord Jesus performed many miracles, didn't he? We have the one in just previous to that, the marriage of Canaan, where he turned the water into wine. He made good wine. He made the new wine. The old was at the beginning, but he made good wine, that which was new. And you know, we're going to look at Nicodemus, and the Lord Jesus said, you need a new birth. You must be born again. But notice that they believed in his name because of the miracles. The Lord Jesus knew more than that. He looked deeper than that, didn't he? He looked into the hearts of men. He didn't commit himself to them because he knew them. He knew what was in man. He knew the nature of man. He knew the religious rulers, the Pharisees, and those that were there in celebration of the Passover. He knew man. They said, we believed in his, they said to him that they believed in his name because of the miracles that he performed. And you know, there's many people today that simply believe in the name of the Lord Jesus, don't they? Association with the name. And when he was born, his name was to be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins, as the angel appeared to Joseph and announced the birth of the Lord Jesus. His name would be called Jesus. He shall save his people from our sins. The name. But you know, just to believe in the name, because of the miracles of what he performed, was not enough. They didn't believe from the heart, did they? They simply believed because of what they saw, of what he performed. We have the same story in the as we go on in chapter 6, when the Lord Jesus took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and he multiplied them that the little lad had brought. And he fed a great multitude of 5,000 people or more. Kept multiplying the bread, and there was more, there was more, there was more, and the fishes, and more fish, and so on. Kept multiplying it. Fed all the multitude. A miracle. Before the eyes of people that were there. How could it be that he brought 5 little loaves and 2 fishes? How could it be that he could feed such a multitude? But he did. He kept multiplying it and multiplying it. The day after, they came to him and acknowledged that they were following him because they saw the miracle of the loaves, the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes. That's the reason they followed him, was because of the miracle that he had performed. The Lord Jesus said, your meat is not, your labor not for the meat You labor for the meat that perisheth, and not for the meat, but endureth everlasting life. That which counts for eternity. You see, they were only looking at their own hunger, their own satisfaction of the flesh. They failed to see that beyond that is the satisfaction of the soul of man, that which is eternal, that satisfies for eternity the soul of man in the Lord Jesus Christ. See, multiplying the fishes and the loaves and so on, it showed that in eternity, there's beyond, far beyond than what man sees. Man only saw the things that were there that the lad had. The Lord Jesus showed him that beyond this little lunch is far greater things that is yet to come. But far greater things that they could enter into by recognizing the meat is everlasting life through the Lord Jesus Christ. That which is eternal. That which lasts forever. That which is beyond any comprehension of man. As the Lord Jesus showed to them. We don't follow because of the miracle. We follow because of who He is, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, God manifested in the flesh. The story of the blind man, we see that when the Lord Jesus took spittle and He took clay and mixed the spittle with the clay and He put that on the eyes of the blind man, the young lad, who had never was able to see from birth. And when He put the spittle on his eyes, and He told him to go wash in the pool of Siloam, that he could see. And they said to him, "How are thine eyes open?" And the young man said, "A man that is called Jesus." You see, it's not the miracles. It's the man that is called Jesus. That man who walked upon this earth. That man who performed many miracles. And by the power and might of the Spirit, by the Holy Spirit and of His power, anointed of God, by this man were his eyes opened. A man that is called Jesus. As we come this morning, we come to see Him. And that's what Nicodemus sought to see. The man that is called Jesus. He wanted to see Him. Here was a man who was very disturbed at what he heard and what he saw at the feast. Here was a man who was a Pharisee. A man who was a ruler of the Jews. He was part of the Sanhedrin Council. He was one of the higher up ones in the Jewish religion of that day. But he saw something disturbed him, of what the Lord Jesus did and said at this feast time. And he came to Jesus by night. He was a very religious man. And he came to Jesus by night. He came in the hour of darkness, in the cover of darkness. And he came and sought out this one, this man, that is called Jesus. And we see that it's interesting what he says. That no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. He saw something very different about this, the miracles that were performed, that it was beyond anything of this human world, anything that any man could perform, he did. No man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. He came to that conclusion. Perhaps maybe he came by night because he didn't want others to see his compromise. That he was compromising as a religious ruler and as a Pharisee and one who writes the laws and emphasizes the law and so on. A teacher of the law, a teacher of Israel. Here he is talking to one who spake of the things that were opposite from what they were teaching. And he didn't want those to see the compromise that he was doing. And you know, it can be true today, even amongst believers. It's easy to compromise, and it can happen. You can compromise to the world for the things that we believe, the things that are found in the Word of God. And sometimes, as believers, we compromise. And we give in to the influence of the world and the friends and those that we associate with and are close to. To compromise. To let down our barriers in there. It's a dangerous thing as a believer. But we see in this case that Nicodemus, as he came to the Lord Jesus, this man who had performed miracles, he wanted to talk with him. And as he came to the Lord Jesus, and the Lord Jesus who knew all about him, he knew the hearts of men, he knew Nicodemus' heart, and he knew all about him, but he came to the Lord Jesus. And that's what the world needs today, is to come to the Lord Jesus. To recognize that he has the answer for life, in life. We're faced with pressures and difficulties, decisions, things that bear upon us day by day. The world is put so much upon us. But you know, it's wonderful to know that the Lord is with us. The Lord is by our side. He can bring comfort and strength and help in difficult situations. We find that Nicodemus was concerned about his spiritual needs. In verse 3, Jesus answered and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." We have a searching sinner who is searching for the answers in life. And you know, the Lord Jesus came to give us the answers to life. Remember the story of the lost son who left his father's home and lived a riotous living. But when he came to himself, and he came back home, and his father ran and met him and put his arms around him, the father said this, "My son was dead and is alive again, was lost and is found." Those are tremendous words, aren't they? A son who had been away from home, the welcome that he received from the Father. My son was dead and is alive again. And that's what salvation is all about, isn't it? Being born again. Becoming alive. Before we're saved, we're dead in trespasses and sins. We come alive in the Lord Jesus Christ through the new birth. Being born again. Not of corruptible seed, but of the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. New birth can only come through an eternal seed, through the Lord Jesus Christ. The eternal Word that He gives to us. He gives us new life, a new beginning. We sing the song here when someone has a birthday. We're wishing them many more birthdays. We're also wishing and hoping and trusting that you will know the second birthday, that you'll be born again and be part of the kingdom of God. So important that we have the second birthday when we receive Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. Being born again. Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. We sing the song of this portion. A ruler once came to Jesus by night and asked him the way of salvation, made plain. His answer in words true and clear, ye must be born again. The Lord Jesus never missed any words, did he? He said, you must be born again. Nicodemus says, do I enter into my mother's womb and be born again, physically, the second time? How can that be? The Lord Jesus said, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. But what is the water and the Spirit that is spoken of here in this portion? There's been different schools of thought on this, and some feel is born of the water, the cleansing of the Word, the washing of the Word, and by the conviction of the Spirit of God can bring new life. It's also a thought of the fact that John the Baptist, his ministry, as he baptized those that came to him, he baptized unto repentance of the one who would come, who's preferred after me, who was before me. And his baptism was a baptism unto repentance. It was water baptism that spake of this one who would come, far greater than he. I must decrease that he must increase, John said. He was simply a forerunner, one who had gone before, who was in the wilderness, and he made straight the path for the one to come, the Lord Jesus Christ. And through water, people reminded of that they needed to repent. And to turn. And to receive this one whom John spoke of, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus came as he when he began, before he began his ministry, he was baptized of John, and the Spirit of God descended upon him like a dove. And the Father said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." You see, it's the water of repentance. And it's the Spirit of conviction of man's ultimate destiny of hell, of man's ways in which his nature is found as being alienated from God, as being separated from God. It's through the work of the Spirit of God in realizing that one is lost in sin apart from receiving Jesus Christ as their Savior, the only way they can enter into the kingdom of God. You see, they saw the miracles, but there was no repentance. There's a lot of believing today, and a lot of easy believism, very easy. But many people don't recognize the knowledge of the fact that I'm actually headed for a Christless eternity unless I repent. I need to recognize my guilt because of sin, because of my nature. Man came from the way of the Garden of Eden, didn't he? God created man by his hand. He created man. Man's way came through the Garden of Eden and came on through. And we see more and more the man in his own soul, as the way of man's spiritual decay and man's rebellion against God that came from the Garden of Eden continue to go on through the cycle and the generations of mankind. And the Bible says that man's ways will only get worse, and the times will get worse as time goes on. Each dispensation of the times that we see in the Word of God didn't end in better times. They were always worse. Israel's final rejection of their Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we go back further in their time in captivity and the terrible situation that they found themselves in under the rule of a Gentile nation, such a wicked king. And as time went on, and Israel finally rejected their only Savior, their only hope. And that's where they are today. They fail to recognize Christ as their Messiah. The only way to enter the kingdom of God is through the Lord Jesus Christ, through his death on the cross. He says, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." The physical birth is fleshly, but the spiritual birth is life everlasting. I remember of hearing a testimony of a man by the name of Willie Mullen. I think I may have mentioned of him here before. There's a picture of a man who lived in a very, very very difficult situation. I remember when I was at Bible school, he came and spoke at a conference, and he took one night and gave his testimony, and I'll never forget it. He's raised in a family of 16 children. It was 15 boys and one girl. He says, "You don't have to pray for my sister." He says, "She battered all of us boys." But he said that His father died in World War I in the Battle of the Bulge. His mother was left. His testimony has touched my heart through the years as I think of it. But for 10 years, he never entered the door of a house. From the time he was 16 years of age, he never entered the door of a house. One time he was in a pub and he was in a gang and someone slipped a paper through the door. And he saw it out of the corner of his eye and he went over and picked it up. And someone was having some gospel meetings in a little church. He read it, scribbled it up, and threw it aside. He went out the door that night and went down the alleyway and he was met by a man. He brushed up against his shoulder. The man said to him, he says, "I dare you to come to the meeting." And he says, "If anybody dared me at that time," he says, "I was quick to go." And so he went. He slipped into the back of the church and this man was preaching on the wrath of God. That you must be born again. And the man is separated from God, who is a holy and righteous God. The man's judged in final judgment unless he received Christ as their Savior is hell. And he spake of the judgment and the wrath of God that is to come upon the ungodly unless they repent. Willie left that meeting and never thought too much more. He jumped over a fence one time and his job was to sketch out the burglary. He was sketching this house. How were they burglarized the house? As he was standing there alone, the thoughts came to him. What about this wrath of God? What about this man who is called Jesus? And he said that the seed that was sown began to germinate. And this new life was beginning to come to vision. And as he stood there, and as these thoughts came to his mind, he recognized he needed a new birth. And he bowed his head, and he received Christ as his Savior. He knew something had happened to him. His thinking was different. He knew that God had done something in his life in that moment. He went back to the gathering where the gang was and he said to them, he says, "Something has happened to me." And he says, "I can't stay with you anymore. I've got to leave." So he went out the door. And from that time on, when he left, he began to go in that direction of the work that God had started in his life. He became gloriously saved. He became born again and became part of the kingdom of God. Willie Mullen became one of the greatest pastors of Northern Ireland. It was said that he pastored one of the largest churches of Northern Ireland for many, many years. But you see, that's what it means to be born again. To be born from above. To have a spiritual birth. To have a new beginning. A life that now counts for God rather than self. And the destruction of the flesh. There's so much more in between that Willie talks about. The sinful life that he had lived. He was rejoicing in the glorious redemption of the new birth that he found in the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, God wants to give us a new beginning, a new life, to be born again, to be born from above, to know what it is to have our sins forgiven, to be free from the guilt of sin. I remember when I was just young and sitting down on this side in the little church at home. The gospel was preached and I recognized that I was a sinner, just as a young lad of about 8 years of age. It was then that I received the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. I didn't want to go to hell, to face the wrath of God. I wanted to enter into the new life, have a new life, a new beginning with the Lord Jesus. And that's what Nicodemus, as he talked with the Lord Jesus, he found the answer that he was looking for. It wasn't in religious laws and authority and what man said. It was simply the simple message: ye must be born again. No other way. And we get to heaven is through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and being born again, born from above. And I can't think of any other gathering of people together that I'd rather be with than with God's people. We gather with people of the world and so on, and we see them, we know. But there's such a bond together in God's, the hearts of God's people, that as we gather together, that he's the center that we gather to. It's not a person or traditions or things of that sort. But we're simply gathered unto the person of the Lord Jesus as God's people gather together. I wouldn't want to gather with any other people. I want to gather with the saints, those of like-minded believers, because this is only a taste of what heaven is going to be like as we gather together with the Lord Jesus. Nicodemus found a new beginning. The Lord Jesus said, ye must be born again. Our time is gone, and you hear the phrase, I've heard those that give testimony, I know I'm not what I could be. I know I'm not what I should be. But thank God I'm not what I used to be. You know, the very heart of man, the deepest sins that man can commit can be forgiven. And sometimes there's deep sins that man commits that nobody knows about. And perhaps one may be ashamed or perhaps hesitant in speaking to anyone. And perhaps have carried a very deep sin. But you know, God knows. And God wants to hear what that is. He wants to hear the voice of repentance. And he's ready to forgive. No matter what it is, no matter how deep and dark the sin is, he's ready to forgive. And he wants to give you a new beginning. I know I'm not what I could be. I know I'm not what I should be. But I thank God I'm not what I used to be. Some of us have been brought up in Christian homes and been sheltered But yet the heart of man, the nature of man is the same no matter where. Man's nature is bent towards sin. The moment we're saved, we can say, and thank God that I'm not what I used to be. That I'm not looking to man for the answers and what I can do. I'm thankful that I'm on my way to heaven. I've been redeemed. I've accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. I'm on my way to heaven. If you're here this morning and you've never trusted the Lord Jesus as your Savior, if you don't know what it is, bow your head to acknowledge that you're a sinner and simply say, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I know I'm lost. And I need, as Nicodemus, to come to you and to receive you as my personal Lord and Savior. If you haven't done that, I encourage you to do that even this morning before you leave. Let's just close in prayer.